Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The 1990s movie Swimming with Sharks is now an original Roku Channel series. Creator, writer, and showrunner Kathleen Robertson joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. After decades delivering memorable film and television performances, actor Tom Skerritt is now a TV channel maker. His new venture is Evergreen, E-V-R-G-R-N, showcasing Pacific Northwest landmarks, culture, and creatives. You will hear Tom Skerritt live during our next half hour. Our second hour begins with weekend talk show and executive producer and host Marcy Hopkins, whose Wake Up with Marcy is growing a national audience. And we'll wrap up our second hour with two executive producers from the new ABC upcoming true crime casebook, Who Do You Believe?, Alex Worsen and Ben Crompton. Also ahead, news, no quickies, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Reason, and Verbal. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this hour. We welcome you on this Friday afternoon to a two-hour expanded edition of the program All About TV's Current and Future. 67 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We're delighted to have you with us. We have an all-star lineup of people for you, and we invite you to be interacting with them. How do you do it? You pick up the phone, and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We also have our chat room and business for you, so go ahead and use it. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, as always, you can connect others by using Facebook's timeline feature. Just click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, tune in screen, follow the instructions, other people will be live with you. Kathleen Robertson from the Roku channel hit Swimming with Sharks will join us live from Toronto, Canada, after these news note quickies. Acclaimed Apple TV Plus drama series Pachinko will return for a second season. Final episode of season one came out earlier today. Hulu will go forward with its own Holocaust scripted effort 2 days after HBO's debut original movie, The Survivor, whose writer was on this program this past Monday. 8 episodes will cover We Were the Lucky Ones, starring Joey King, adapted from a best-selling book. A mystery-solving competition set on a remote castle in Scotland is the premise of The Traitors, coming later this year or 2023 from Peacock. Alan Cummings will host the series, with 20 contestants out to win up to $250,000. Discovery Plus docuseries Jailhouse Redemption, about heroin addicts participating in a prison treatment exercise, starts May 12th. And Amazon's much-awaited unveiling of new Kids in the Hall episodes is good to go May 13th. And that is news notes for today. You're about to meet an actress whose first shot at being a TV series creator and showrunner is winning rave reviews all over the place. It's Swimming with Sharks, the adaptation of the 1990s movie starring Kevin Spacey, is now playing on the Roku channel. And joining us live from Toronto, Canada, in an inter-radio exclusive, is that creator, writer, and showrunner, Kathleen Robertson. Kathleen, welcome to our program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. First of all, what do you think about the fact that right out of the gate, your first efforts behind the scenes rather than acting is turning out to be a very good hit?
I'm thrilled. You never know when you write something and you're kind of in a bit of a bubble during the post-production period. And, you know, you just hope that people are going to like it and be into it and sort of get what you were going for. And yeah, we're really super grateful. People seem to be liking it. So it's cool.
When did you decide that you were going to move from on camera as an actress? Some people may remember you, for example, for your role several seasons on Beverly Hills 90210 in the 1990s, to doing something behind the scenes, to be sort of your own series maker.
Well, it's funny. Everybody sort of – I am an actor. I will always be an actor. I just sort of felt, you know, that after so many years being in front of the camera, I was like, oh, you know, I really think that I – have something to say as a writer. And I had always sort of written scripts and never let anyone read them. And finally sort of decided, okay, I'm gonna let people read my stuff and see what happens, and you know, here we are.
And where you are is you're taking on Hollywood. I was reading the press release announcing this series, and here's what you had to say. Historically, Hollywood has always represented reinvention, rebirth, starting over. There has never been a better time to embrace that. Why do you think so?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious reasons, I think we all sort of are feeling a little bit after after the last few years. I think we're all kind of feeling a little bit in need of a reset and a rebirth. So it feels, you know, the timing of this coming out is actually interesting to me because, you know, again, you never really know when things are going to kind of come out, if they're going to feel sort of like, oh, yeah, this feels really kind of like it makes sense to be coming out at this particular moment in time. And I think this show really does for a lot of different reasons. But, yeah, it feels also kind of like the kind of show that I know for me, like when I'm sort of searching for what's next, what do I want to watch, what's that next show that I want to dive into. I'm tending to sort of gravitate towards things lately, I think, given that we're coming out of the pandemic. And, you know, I think I'm gravitating towards things that feel a little bit more fun and wish fulfillment and a little bit like kind of a little bit more extreme and, you know, as opposed to maybe just like a straight down the middle drama or so, yeah, it feels kind of like the kind of show that people are loving right now, I think, for all those reasons.
For people who have not seen the series yet, which started earlier this month on the Roku channel, what is it about and how does it play off the original 1990 movie?
Well, it doesn't really have any – there really are no kind of similarities other than it's the title and the fact that it takes place in Hollywood. But I really kind of wanted to make it my own and I really wanted to simply sort of use that as a jumping off point. And it's really more about this relationship between these two women. Diane Kruger plays Joyce Holt, who runs she's a female CEO, one of the very few female CEOs in Hollywood, running a movie studio. And her, you know, this young girl sort of starts coming to work as an intern in her office, and they sort of form this relationship that at first you sort of think is one thing and then it becomes kind of something very different. And so, yeah, that's kind of the sort of general idea of what it is. So it's very different from the original movie was more sort of a man taking down another man, like a younger man taking down an older man and sort of like a horrible boss story. And this has elements of that, but it's really not about a woman taking down another woman. I had no interest in doing that and telling that story. So it's more of a weird, twisted love story.
Kathleen Robinson is with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and she is winning raves as the creator, head writer, and the showrunner of Swimming with Sharks, the brand-new drama running on the Roku channel. They have on smart TV sets and smart devices, including those made by the aforementioned Roku. She joins us live from Toronto, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we are just getting started with a big two-hour edition of our program. Simon Adam, I'm with you live from New York, 60 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. If you have a question or comment for Kathleen or for any of our guests coming up, give us a call. Here's the number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're going to take a rare Monday off next week because of the digital content new fronts, all the very big events happening in person for the first time in 3 years from that particular annual event here in the Big Apple. We will be with you on Thursday and Friday. And Thursday we'll be on at a special time, 1 hour earlier than normal. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. And we have a great power hour for you coming up as our lead guest from the brand-new Netflix series starring Mike Myers called The Pen of Rarité. We'll have the director and executive producer, Tim Kirkby. And then we'll go live to Denver, where Series Fest is back for its eighth season and the first person in 3 years. We'll talk to one of the key organizers of the festival, where more than 50 independently made TV series pilots will be screened, and some of them might get deals before the festival is all done. We're talking to Initiative's producer, Lauren Grimshaw Sloan. That's all coming up on our special Thursday edition of this program. That's next Thursday, special time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Do not miss. Kathleen, how much, the original movie had a lot of dark comedy, dark satire. Did you want to play off that, or do you want to make it more comedy, more drama?
Yeah, no, I really wanted to lean more into the sort of thriller element. And tonally, you know, the original film was much more of kind of a black comedy. This is not that. It's definitely a psychological thriller.
You worked with two women who have really come into their own as actresses. Karen Shipka, many people remember her as Don Draper's daughter on Mad Men, and also Diane Kruger, who's done a number of starring and co-starring roles in series. What was it like working with these two?
They were amazing. They really were so kind of perfectly cast, and you know, you always sort of hope that when you hire people that they're going to be game to sort of play and take on the challenges of the roles. And you know, both of these roles were really complicated and really difficult roles and not super easy to cast. You know, we really kind of needed, you know, both of them, I sort of really wanted to make sure that they kind of presented as one thing, and you sort of on the surface, like, you know, Kiernan, on the surface, her character Lou sort of appears as this young, naive girl from a small town that's come to this, you know, like the sort of what you think she's going to be is completely blown open at the end of the pilot, and you realize, oh, this is not who I expected this girl to be at all. She's much more complicated. And, you know, same with Diane. You know, Diane's character is sort of, you know, she's incredibly successful. She's meticulous. She's hard. She's tough. She's a very, very challenging boss. And you know, I sort of wanted to strip that away and show like, well, why are people like that? And like, why, what would cause a woman in a place of power like that? Like, what would that be about? And what is that woman like behind closed doors? So I really wanted to show both sides of that, you know, like who is she when she's at home and she's got all her makeup off and her sweatpants on and she's sitting working in bed with her glasses on and her husband's leaving to go cheat on her and she knows he's cheating on her and she doesn't say anything, and what's that about, and what are her secrets, and what are her kind of, like, what are her demons? So, yeah, and because I'm an actor, you know, obviously I feel like all the roles in Swimming with Sharks are really kind of juicy roles for actors. They all get fun and unexpected things to do.
Hmm. Well, Kathleen, when you are writing complicated characters, and then you're asking actors as a showrunner to play these characters and make sure your vision gets out on that television screen to us, the viewer, how do you advise people like Kieran and Diane to make sure that what you write comes out?
Well, I mean, I think honestly, like, it's why so many people say that casting is honestly, you know, it's probably the most important decision that you make as a creator. And I think both of them really just inherently understood who these women were and really kind of had no fear and sort of just jumped in and kind of wanted to explore all of these different sides and layers. Like, there was never sort of I never felt like, oh, they're not really understanding who this woman is, or, oh, they're not really getting this. And so, you know, I think – and that's the casting process. I mean, you watch everything that they've done. You really sort of, you know, deep dive into their body of work and say, like, okay, does this totally feel like the right fit? And I met with both of them before casting them and sort of, like, in meeting with them and talking about, like, how they saw the roles. Like, that's kind of the heavy lifting of the job. And then once you start, you know, you just really are – you have to trust that you've made the right choice and go from there.
Kathleen, I think we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? All right, hello, you're on the air. Nope, person dropped off. Well, if you want to make the call and ask something or a comment, call back and we'll get you on. Kathleen, how did you evolve as a showrunner? You know, given that this is your first time out in this neck of television, how did you find the experience as you went along?
Well, we had a pretty challenging experience on this particular show because we were shooting during, you know, we got shut down. We were one of the productions that was filming at the beginning of the pandemic. And then literally we were at the halfway mark of finishing and we got the call from Lionsgate saying, okay, we need to shut down production and it's just going to be for 2 weeks until we sort of figure out what's going on with COVID. And, you know, so it was a pretty challenging thing in that, you know, we shut down and then everybody kind of went their separate ways and we all were just kind of waiting to see when we were going to come back. And it was, you know, it was like 6 months before we actually were able to come back. And in that time period, you know, a lot of things changed and a lot of, you know, like Donald Sutherland is in the show and Donald is, you know, he's an older man. And, you know, there was a lot of concern about like, do we want to put him at risk and have him be back on set, you know, in an environment where we don't really know. We, you know, at that point it was all the unknowns of COVID were sort of just coming to the surface. So it was kind of like challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge. And then the initial platform that we sold this for was Jeffrey Katzenberg's platform Quibi. And that we found out literally on the last day of filming that that platform had basically gone under. So then I had to find a way to re-edit it as half-hour episodes. And luckily, you know, Roku Channel, who's been such a great partner on this, they loved it. They jumped in. And, you know, we were able to finally get it to the finish line. But it was for my first time out, I feel like it was pretty much like you probably can't get much more challenging than sort of what we went through. But yeah, it was great. I mean, I really kind of feel like show running for me feels really natural. I've been in the business for so many years. I've been on so many sets. I've worked with so many different, you know, creators and producers and writers and learned so much from so many amazing people along the way. So all of that was really sort of important and instrumental in me actually being able to pull it off.
Did Kieran find it ironic that Lionsgate is producing the show because Mad Men was a Lionsgate show? In fact, one of their first major hits as a television supplier.
Yeah, no, we definitely, I mean, when Kieran's name came up for this, I mean, of course, Lionsgate was very, like, they were very happy that I was into her for this, I think, because they love her and had such a great relationship with her on Mad Men. So yeah, for sure. I mean, she's definitely very loved in the Lionsgate family. And that was really, you know, it was really cool. She's amazing. She's amazing. She's such a great person to work with.
The program we're talking about is Swimming with Sharks. It's the brand new attraction on the Roku channel, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including those Roku devices, as well as TV sets that have the Roku operating platform. And we're speaking with the key person behind the program, the creator, main writer, and showrunner, Kathleen Robertson, joining us live from Toronto, Canada this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And happy you're joining both of us and other people coming shortly for the ride. Simon Avon with you live from New Haven, York. If you have a question or comment on our remaining moments with Kathleen, don't be shy. Call right in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next week, ABC begins a new season of the popular miniature golf competition, Holy Moly. And this year, the Muppets are involved. We had Charles Wachter, the executive producer of the series, on several years ago when it started on ABC, and we will have him back Friday as one of our guests. That's next Friday, Charles Wachter from Holy Moly on Tomorrow Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, our regular time. Kathleen, how do you like being a showrunner? What have you learned the most out of being in that role?
I love all the detail work. You know, I weirdly loved kind of all the budgeting. I loved dealing with all the locations. I loved kind of going out and finding like the perfect house for each character based on sort of what I envisioned when I was writing it. I really loved the post-production period. I loved the music and working with composers and sound design. And yeah, I loved all of the sort of unexpected elements that I, as an actor, you know, I've never been able to be involved in those parts of the business before. So And again, I guess, you know, you don't really know if you're going to like something until you do it. I could have, I'm sure, very easily had the experience and been like, okay, I've done that. I'm never doing it again. But I actually just, you know, I really enjoyed all of it. Yeah, creating the poster, working on the title sequence, picking the wardrobe, you know, all of it. It was all really super rewarding.
What's been the feedback from viewers to your series and also from your fellow acting and Hollywood colleagues? Have they sort of come back at you and said, yeah, you nailed it? Yeah, this is somewhat what the scene is like.
Yeah, I think people are, I mean, the response has been amazing. The show premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival. And so that was the first time, that was last month, we premiered there last month. And that was the first time we all sort of collectively as a group saw it together for the first time. I, of course, had seen it a billion times before because I had been editing it for months and months and months. But it was the first time, you know, all the actors got to see it and all the actors came, which was incredible. And yeah, it's just, it's been really sort of amazing to feel that, you know, people are really seem genuinely like they're just loving it and responding to the stuff that, you know, I wrote and created in my own little bubble in my office at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting, writing scenes, like that people will say, oh, I love that scene when this happened, or, oh, that was my favorite scene, or, oh, that was my favorite episode. And so it's really, it's great. You know, it's ultimately why you do it, you know, hoping that people are going to connect. So it's been really
along
cool.
Along the way, did you pinch yourself saying, hey, I'm at South by Southwest with this. This is my first effort in television behind the scenes, and I'm already at South by Southwest, one of the biggest festivals of its kind in America and much less the world, and I'm with a program that is about to launch on a service that is still fairly new, being the Roku Channel.
Yeah, no, it really, I mean, there's been so many of those kind of pinch me moments along the way. Like for me, you know, when Donald Sutherland agreed to play the role of Redmond Isaacson, which was a role I wrote for him, thinking, oh, he'll never do this, you know, he'll never do this part. And, you know, getting that call of like, Donald read it, he wants to do it. Like that was like, ah, you know, scream out loud moment. And yeah, like getting into the festival and being just one of a few TV shows that got in was huge. And then we got, you know, named as like one of the 10 best at the festival by Variety, which was like really cool. And so, yeah, there's been just so many positive things surrounding it. So it does feel cool. And when we had our big party at South By, the show screened the first two episodes, and then, you know, they threw this huge big party for us at this beautiful hotel. And, you know, the whole thing was decorated like with all the bougainvillea from the opening title sequences, and the drinks were all from, you know, inspired by the show. And one of the head of casting at Lionsgate was there, Marcello Belisario, and he came up to me and he was like, is your head blowing off right now? And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, like all this is like literally because of something you just like wrote. Like, isn't that weird for you? And I was like, I guess I haven't really thought about it. I mean, I had literally not even thought about it until that moment. And then I was like, yeah, I definitely need to get better at sort of allowing myself to feel those moments, because I tend to just be like blinders on, like what's next? Like keep going, grind. So I do have to slow down sometimes and be like, yeah, this is pretty cool, you know?
And here's another irony. Tom Skerritt, who is joining us in our next half hour, he worked with Donald Sutherland on a little thing called MASH, the movie, which, of course, was one of the great movies of the 1970s of all time. So how about that?
Yes. Amazing. Amazing. Love it.
Yeah. Before we leave you, two things. I understand that you also have put together either a pilot or a made-for-TV movie for Lifetime with Christina Applegate that may become a TV series pilot.
That is incorrect information. That's okay. That is no longer, it's still kind of alive and moving forward, but Christina's not involved in that project. But she was,
so
and I love her.
Project,
and
but it's not
amazing.
It's a different lead person.
And it's not, yeah, and it's not with Lifetime.
Okay. We stick corrected. And for those of you listening, you'll just have to take my word. It's incredible. So,
sorry.
So what is next for you?
Sorry. But there's lots of other exciting stuff. I'm writing a big movie for Paramount right now, which is my first studio movie, so that's exciting. And I just sold a new show that I'm delivering the first draft of the first script probably end of next week, so that's exciting. And acting stuff too, and you know, I'm busy, so it's good.
Can you tell us what the new show is all about, and when and where will it run?
I can't yet. I'm sworn to secrecy at this moment. It's hard to do press and talk about stuff when they're like, don't talk about it. It's like one of those top secret kind of things. So I apologize. I'll get in trouble.
No problem. And before you go, if Roku Channel asked you, hey, we love what you did with this program, give us a second season. Could that be in the cards?
For sure. Yeah, I've always envisioned it as an ongoing series, and I think, you know, they would love that as well. So, I think we just have to kind of figure out what that would be and when that would be and all that kind of stuff. So, fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. They are. Swimming with Sharks, currently running on the Roku channel. It's available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices, including, of course, Roku devices and also TV sets that have Roku as their operating system. More details about the program online, you can go to Roku.com, it's ROKU.com, or the Roku channel, .Roku.com. That's Roku.com or the Roku channel, .Roku.com. Swing with Sharks, now playing and getting great reviews on the Roku channel. Kathleen Robertson, the creator, head writer, showrunner of Swimming with Sharks, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on your great success, you and all your cast and crew with it. And hopefully what's going on right now, beginning of not only many more seasons of this show, but also a great behind-the-scenes career for you. We really thank you for coming aboard.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You too, Kathleen. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Kathleen Robertson from Swimming with Sharks joining us live from Toronto, Canada. More tomorrow will be televised, including an exclusive interview with actor and Evergreen Channel co-founder Tom Skerritt in our next half hour. But first, some words to the fine folks and our sponsor, Audible.com. If you're looking for a very unusual Western tale, how about this one? It's called Inland by Tia Orrent, and it's about a woman who in the 1890s in Arizona Territory is trying to solve a mystery and bring a family together, too. It's all in Inland by Tia Orrent, and that's a book you can get right now, audio-style, with a one-month trial to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now through Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Get this. All you have to do to get in on that trial is to sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, a one-month trial of the service, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and while the supply lasts, very important health and wellness information. Get this. If you're already an Amazon Prime customer, you get two audiobooks for your trial, one of them from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series and specials, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, great one-woman and one-man shows, and so much more. So how about making today or this weekend a great opportunity to hear how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. To start listening to the good stuff, go to audibletrial.com/televised. And remember, it makes a great gift for you or someone you love. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program all about the tube, and we're with you usually Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio. Don't forget, you can catch us on podcasts. We're available 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, including through Vizio Smart TV sets. We have iTunes, Spotify, the iRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. And again, these episodes are available 24/7, so check them out anytime you like. Coming up in our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. But first, another internet radio exclusive with one of the most celebrated actors around, who is now a TV channel maker. I'm talking about Tom Skerritt. He will join us live from Seattle, Washington, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Speaker.com, TuneIn.com. Together, reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Coming up tonight, it's You Better Think, a very unusual show for entertainment. That's You Better Think. It's happening tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this expanded two-hour edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away live and lively from New Haven, York. Tom and Adam, I'm with you live from the Big Apple. It's now 60 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our remaining guests in the 90 minutes ahead, make a call, and here's where you do it, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Over the course of the nearly 15 years we've been doing this program, we have had a number of wonderful actors and actresses come on this program. Just to name a few, we've had James Drury, the star of The Virginian, still the most successful 90-minute Western in television existence. Mia Maestra, the woman who broke through in Carlos Sorba's wonderful Oscar-nominated movie Tango, later got co-star with Jennifer Garner on Alias, was also involved with FX's series The Strain for the first two seasons, and so much more. We've had Sarah Rue from Less Than Perfect on ABC. Currently, she's in her second season on CBS's Chuck Lorre comedy Be Positive. And Missy Capture, remember her? With Rob Estes, the co-star of the popular CBS Late Night, then later USA Network long-running drama, Silk Stockings. Well, we have not just another actor coming your way in this half hour, a very special actor. He has done some of the most illuminating and wonderful, breathtaking performances in some of the most seminal movies around, from Harold and Maude to MASH to Top Gun to A River Runs Through It, as well as his terrific portrayal in the 1990s CBS hit Picket Fences. He is now a TV channel maker. Earlier this month, he launched a new service called Evergreen, E-V-R-G-R-N. It is a service that showcases the landmarks, the culture, and more importantly, the talents and creators in his neck of the woods, the Pacific Northwest. Joining us live in an internet radio exclusive from Seattle, Washington, Tom, it is an honor to have you with us.
How do you do, sir? Good afternoon.
And how is your new service, Evergreen, going?
Well, this is a new world we're in, Simon, and we're taking a while to get there, but it's an ad-based program with uplifting, imaginatively engaging short films, long films. We're in our second year, so it's all new to me, and I think it's all new to the world because we're also finding other people who are trying to figure out their way as we move along, but this is the new visual entertainment enterprise that we're working on.
After so many years in acting, why did you decide with your wife, Julie Takahashi, why did you decide to step behind the scenes and bring this kind of new enterprise to television?
I'll try to make it short because I go on. I'm writing a memoir at the moment in the midst of that, and there's a whole language about all of this, but basically what it comes down to, for some time ago, I really sensed that Hollywood was going to do what it did, continue to take the same, remain, do the same stories, the hostile, angry side of the fence, and I just really feel we need to get in a more uplifting area with the most influential of all media, visual entertainment. So we've been finding some wonderful, unique films and videos that are on the shelf. Early days of Dale Shihuly's Glasswork. He's one of the great glassmakers in the country. And great fishing, documentaries on fishing, documentaries on great chefs in the forest that you don't know they live there, and they don't know they're doing this remarkable work. Quite a variety of now and then short films that we're coming up with all from all the Northwest area and now going into Montana, finding films that are just worthy of entertainment and picking you up and making you feel that you can do more than you've been doing for your life. It's a don't underestimate yourself kind of channel.
Mm-hmm. And you call it a lifestyle channel as opposed to an entertainment or an information kind of thing. Is that because of the way you want to showcase not only the talent that is in your neck of the woods, but also the environment itself?
Oh, yeah. Wow. The environment up here in Seattle and in the whole Northwest is extraordinary. It's the kind of place that every direction you look in is really creative input. And I think that's perhaps the one thing we're missing in this country right now is that wonderful gift of the possibilities of things that we're giving them. That's basically the foundation for what we're doing.
And what Tom Skerritt is doing is Evergreen Channel. That's E-V-R-G-R-N. It's the brand new channel that is ad-supported and free, and it's now running on a number of smart TV distributed multi-channel bundles like Stir, which is put together by Sinclair, the main TV station owner. Freecast is also running on TCL smart TV sets as well. And Thomas Libby's live and inter-radio exclusive this half hour on Smart TV televised from Seattle, Washington. Tom, now I'm with you from the other side of the U.S. of A., New York, where it is now 61 degrees at the bottom of the hour. You have a question or comment for Tom? Don't be shy. Make that phone call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, our next episode is not going to be this coming Monday, as it usually is, but next Thursday, and we'll be on a special time.
Okay.
It's going to be 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 hour then earlier than normal. And joining us as a lead guest will be from the brand-new Mike Myers series that he's been waiting to do for Netflix for a long time, the director and executive producer of The Pen of Verite, Kim Kirkby. Plus, we'll go live to Denver, where Series Fest will be kicking off for its 8th season and its first in person in 3 years. We'll talk to Initiative's producer, Lauren Grimshaw Sloan. This year, more than 50 TV series pilots, all independent producers from all around the country and all around the world, will be showcased. And who knows, by the end of that festival, a week or so later, some of them could have production deals to be on their way to becoming TV series you can see. It's all coming up Thursday, special time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, give us the road to putting this channel together. What hoops and hurdles did you have to go through with your wife to put this service on the air?
Well, I don't think you or the listeners would necessarily understand any more than we do. This is a whole new world we're dealing with this in visual entertainment. So we have to have short little ads that we have to get from different people. Everything's got to be timed out in a new way. There's a whole order at stake here that we have to determine, are these guys going to be able to ingest what we put in, and how long do they want it, and all of this new framing of visual entertainment. It's as you know, theaters not really – movie theaters are not quite picking up what they used to do. And you'd agree with that?
I do. You know, one of the things I've said for a long time is that one of the reasons why when the Oscars give out the short subject awards and a lot of people sort of feel it's a way to turn the set off is because of the fact that short subjects do not get shown in theaters. They don't get a national showcase. So when the person comes up, when the awards are announced, there's nobody to root for because you don't know who the players are.
Yeah.
Said for a long time that I think one of the things that the Oscar people should do is do a separate show that would showcase the short subjects in their entirety, do interviews with the filmmakers or video makers, and at the end of the show, award the award live. You could do it on whether it's on ABC or Turner Classic Movies or Hulu or Disney Plus, wherever, and I think it would be a terrific way for short subjects, which used to be a very big part of movie making in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, which you can still see on Turner Classic Movies, all those great short subject series, cartoons, documentaries, and so forth. I think it would be a great boon for the short subject community.
Well, I think you're absolutely right there. I think, you know, the executives of studios in the several years ago, I could overhear their concern about how much more money they can make in a higher budget than really began being concerned about the value of the material that they are giving to an audience out there. This is what this is intended about, was in my from the beginning, is we have an obligation, with this being the most influential of our media, to do the best storytelling we can possibly give. And basically, that's what you're describing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the programming that you're running right now in Evergreen. Tell us about some of the topics, and also tell us about some of the talent that you're finding.
Well, where do I start with that? I guess I'll start with, as I mentioned to you earlier, Dale Cihulli is one of the great glass workers and makers, and he's the glass artist, I should call him, and in the country and in the world. He's here. He's given us some material documentaries that he's done. We have these, everything we do is creative. Anyway, I don't think we give ourselves credit for that. But, I mean, great chefs are artists. Mechanics, great mechanics are artists. Designers of cars. This is all something we just don't, each one of us have to understand our creative self. And a lot of what we're pursuing, our content, visual entertainment that gives that to the viewers, is gives them something about themselves that they never gave them credit for. So that's a lot of what the psychology of this thing is all positive, uplifting. Don't scare the hell out of people any more than we've done already. And it's created a lot of... unfortunate civilian displacement and anger and angry anxiety that's out there. And we're just not going to do that. And our ads are based on just the standard way of doing things, which have to go on for, you can search ad-based, but it's difficult to describe a brand new model when you're not finished making that model.
Yeah. How do you see the model evolving?
I see it becoming what we started out with Stir App, as you mentioned. We're now going on to other applications, other platforms, I should say, around the country, so that we're reaching out to potentially, initially, 10 million people. This is all the planning. This is the long-term planning. You can't just make another movie and hope it's going to make money. You have to make sure that you have a lot of good projects that you're putting in there that are all worthy of bringing people up and giving them much more than they thought they had. So I think all I can talk about is really not what's already done, because we haven't already done what we need to do in the long run. So what we have to talk about here is this is a new world, and it's a new field where we can spread our content that's on Stir App out to now. I think we have now seven different outlets that you can find Evergreen Channel now. And maybe eight by the end of next month. We're negotiating with other places around the country that have short footage, short films of one kind or another. Again, fishing, great fishing rivers, and other approaches to the world out there, the forest that we walk through, the fragrance of the forest. All these things that New York doesn't have necessarily, but we do. And it's a very uplifting environment to come into this whole Northwest area. And we're introducing a lot of what's here, what's available for us to experience, including that subconscious thing of just walking through a forest and just breathing in your own life and the life of everything around you, because this is religion that we're talking about here. Everything that lives is more than we think it is, and it's appreciating the world. And we have the content that we're putting together to lead that particular approach to it. Instead of thinking about how much money we're going to make out of it, we will get that eventually. The first thing first is the viewership and how we treat them and how we respect them. Does that sum
it
up?
Are you starting to get viewer reaction to what you're doing? And if so, what are they saying? How are they responding back to you?
Well, one of the first notes we got, we're actually, a lot of this is done just over, it's all data. by the way. But we did get it. We've received some notes recently. One of them said, does anybody know this thing is on the air? This is just great to watch. So that's a highlight when you start getting that response, because they're talking about not necessarily the intellectual aspect of it, but, hey, that made me feel good.
Mm-hmm. The channel is
am I making sense, Simon?
Go ahead, Tom. Yeah. Okay, there we go. I've got the green light here. We're speaking with the celebrated actor Tom Skerritt, and he now has a new service which is running on smart TV sets, smart devices, and most channel bundles around the country. It's called Evergreen, E-V-R-G-R-N. And it may be available at a smart TV set or a multi-channel bundle near you, so check it out. By the way, those multi-channel bundles include STIR, which is run all over the country by Sinclair, the popular TV station group, Tiki Live, Freecast, Viewit, V-U-I-T, Glue TV, G-L-E-W-E-D, and TCL Smart TV Sets. Tom is with us live in Seattle, Washington, this half hour on Smarty Televised, in our radio exclusive. Tom, I'm with you live from New York. The question, Connor, I name this with Tom. Don't be shy. Let the fingers do the thing or your voice do the thing, either way, and call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up near the top of the hour, our classic trivia question of the week that we introduced on Monday's show. If your first is the correct answer, you will win the brand-new best-selling book about the world of TV, current and future, called Binge Times, whose authors Dawn Chmielewski and Dade Hayes were with us on the show a week and a half ago. By the way, Dawn is going to be at Series Fest in Denver, Colorado, in person, moderating one of the panels there. So again, classic trivia question. Stay tuned. You could be our second weekly winner in a row. Tom, how is your wife, Julie, assisting you in this venture?
Well, she was an executive when I was doing Picket Fences at Fox Studios. And she worked with Peter Roth, who was the head of the television department, 20th Century Fox. I hope I don't carry this sound too long. But when he and I would go out to lunch, I noticed this lovely lady who is his assistant, the one who really fed him the most important way to approach things and how, and what he had to tend to. And she was rather attractive, and she was treating her other subordinates so nicely to get them to hustle and get things done, that I found we should have lunch someday, and one thing led to another. And here we are 27 years later, still being a man and a woman, still getting to know each other and still enjoying the ride that we're having, particularly since I saw this thing. I started this thing 7 years ago, and I didn't know quite how we were going to monetize it, so here we are. We've learned how to monetize it by through the ads, the money we get from advertising in between each episode, which is anywhere from 20 to an hour and a half long. So she just knows what she's doing. She's a woman. She takes care of everything.
By the way, how are you doing with advertisers? What kind of advertisers are you picking up for the channel?
Julie would know all that. I don't know. I can't keep up with that because I've got to do the creative side, putting together some stuff from other filmmakers and developing it. So she's got all the data that you might be asking about.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get into development. Are you starting to have talent in your neck of the woods come to you and say, I'd like to do a scripted series, I'd like to do an unscripted series based in the Pacific Northwest or featuring the culture? Or I want to do a short subject, or I want to do a documentary series, or a short subject or feature about this particular inspirational person.
We will in time. Right now, we're just picking up some really very attractive things that are on the shelf, or that have gone through public broadcasting, PBS. Already had their time there, and they're now just dormant. There's a lot of wonderful material out there that has not had enough exhibition, and it's just really entertaining when you look at it. So this is not something that we can look back and use the past. Every piece I'm talking about is just a whole new approach to visual entertainment as something that really picks you up and makes you feel good and Other people are coming in with things right now. We have to do our own that we have before we can take in anything else that somebody's bringing us, any other ideas. We just don't have room for it, nor do we have the funds for that yet. We have to gradually build something that is not overnight, but takes time to get to where we need to get for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Tom, what do you think about the television scene now compared to what it was like doing picket fences? It seems that because of smart TV sets and smart TV devices and the growing capacity and capabilities they have, that we are seeing everything from the mega content services like Netflix and Disney Plus and Amazon and Apple TV Plus and so on, but we're also seeing a lot of new networks like yours get national distribution, bring new talent to television. We're seeing more and more people, series creators of color also, like Kathleen Robertson, get the opportunity to do a television series off the bat and to bring their own creative vision to viewers.
We're going to find out. This is a whole new world, and it's really difficult to describe down the line who and what may be coming along. We'll look at them and evaluate them if they want us to handle and exhibit the material. But again, we certainly have to have our own approach to this thing. I can't get into who else is coming in and why they're coming in. All I know is that I've lived my whole life for 60 years of doing this stuff without overanalyzing it, because this is really we win by what they feel. And if you just are out there to make a buck or figure out being afraid of someone else stepping in, I'm not afraid of that. So I don't get into that. I can't find a language for it, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing we are seeing, in addition to this incredible growth of television and all these new players coming in, and many of whom are independent, like yourself, many of whom are first-timers, we're also seeing more places around the country where you can do television programming, whether it's New Orleans, Chicago, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm wondering, what's it like to be in the creative community where you are, in Seattle and the Pacific Northwest?
Well, I'm wildly saying that there may be more great storytellers up in this area, this whole Northwest area, including into Montana, than anywhere in the world. I just loaded with just these storytellers who may not know we exist simply because they're too busy writing. I'm a writer. I know what that is. The outside world is something I've been brought in for decades. And it's what I can give, the feelings I can give them in terms of less is more. And it's just really a thoroughly enjoying time that you're doing. I've learned that with Robert Altman when I did MASH. I learned it with Ridley Scott when he did Alien, other things right along the line. Tony Scott, I just name off. I learn from just filmmakers for the most part, directors and writers. And the acting is something that is been informed and supported by my communication with other people outside of being an actor and other actors. This is really about all of us.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because you, in your career, your film career, you worked with a lot of directors who either came out of television, like Robert Altman in MASH. And by the way, many people should see Robert Altman's television work on shows like Combat and Bonanza and others. He was a really excellent director who really, you could see the beginning of the kind of directing style he would do in his episodic TV work, to did with Picket Fences. I have to ask one thing. I recently saw River Runs Through It on Turner Classic Movies. It's become one of their top attractions. It runs every so often. It's a wonderful movie. And I think it really interests people to not only fly fishing, but really that kind of living environment with you and your fellow actors and Robert Redford's direction. I've always wondered, did anybody ever think about making that a television series? Because it has a very Walton's kind of quality to it. And I personally think that somebody at some point should make a movie. I mean, make a TV series out of River Runs Through It.
Jeez, that's a great idea. I hadn't, I mean, that thing, that's one of the films, I don't see every film I make, but A River Runs Through It I have seen on several occasions, and I have to tell you, I'm moved to a deeper level emotionally than any other film. And I hadn't thought about that, Simon, so that's a really hell of a good idea. I'm going to think that out.
Thank you. Tom, thank you.
You finished, by the way.
If you haven't seen this movie, when it comes on Turner Classic Movies anytime soon, do see it. It is beautifully acted by Tom and crew. It's beautifully by Robert Redford. The cinematography is incredible, and it just takes you into, like the best movies do, a whole different world that you really appreciate. And it is a very, like you say, it's very inspiring entertainment.
Yeah, well, I might make it a note about this series with River Runs Through It. I hadn't even considered that. And have maybe a discussion. I haven't spoken with Redford for some time, but I might throw that idea out, and I'll have to put it onto your shoulders and say, you made this happen, Simon.
If it happens, I'd be honored. Be absolutely honored, Tom. And I'm happy we could maybe kick for somebody out there, start the ball rolling with you on that, this half hour on this Friday afternoon. The service is...
Oh, there are a lot of fishermen up here. I think they would be supportive.
You got it. And anything we do on that line, just make the call. Maybe we can make something happen. It'd be really dynamite. And the service that Tom Scare is involved with is Evergreen, E-V-R-G-R-N. It is ad-supported. It's free. It's currently available on a number of smart TV sets and smart TV devices and on multi-channel bundles like Stir, Blue TV, Avoca, VYT, Tiki Live, and Freecast. For more details about the service online, here's where you go, www.evergreenchannel.com. That's www.evrgrnchannel.com. Evergreen, now available all over the country through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Tom Skerritt, it has been an honor and a pleasure to have you with us this half hour. Congratulations to you, your wife, everybody involved with your service for making it on the air. And hopefully it's just going to keep growing and growing and make a really inspiring difference for a lot of people.
Thank you for your idea, by the way, Simon.
I got that. Tom, thank you again, and you and your family have a wonderful, wonderful weekend ahead.
You too. Be healthy.
You got it. Take care.
Bye.
Tom Skerritt of Evergreen Channel joining us live from Seattle, Washington. Wow, what a person. And I'm pulling for this service personally to make it. And somebody out there, call Tom. Maybe we've started something. River Runs Through It. Make a great television series. If you haven't seen the movie, do. You might get inspired to make a TV series. Promise you that. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And we're working on our second weekly winner in a row. We introduced the question on our Monday episode. And we're still looking for a winner. So get your thinking caps ready. Here's the question. What was Robert Conrad's first television series? What was Robert Conrad's first television series? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name, where you're emailing from. If your first correct answer, you will win our current prize, Binge Times, the new best-selling book about TV's current and possibly big future, written by Dawn Chablowski and Dade Hayes, two of the top critics and journalists covering the world of the tube. And they were on our show earlier this month, and that's the prize you can win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning at DB throughout the weekend at Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. And if you just joined us before the top of the hour and missed the question, we will repeat it in the hour ahead. And in the hour ahead, joining us at the bottom of the next hour, we will have from the brand new ABC True Crime series premiering next Tuesday night from Who Do You Believe? We will have executive producers Alex Wurstow and Ben Crompton. But first, a weekend talk show host who is now syndicating her show around the country. Her name is Marcy Hopkins. The show is called Wake Up with Marcy, and you will hear her live from New Jersey as we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, coming up Monday, it's Growing in Greatness. It's a brand new show on VTR. Check it out for yourself. Growing in Greatness, Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And the best of VTR, as always, 24/7 available to you through YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second hour of Tomorrow Be Televised, and welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of this hour. Simon, I'm with you live from New York, Expand Edition for you to wrap up your April 2022. And if you have a question or comment for our guests ahead, give us a call. The number is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And as always, while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook timeline feature. Just click on the Facebook icon. It's somewhere on your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Right now, let's meet someone who is going to join us from New Jersey, who is a talk show host on the weekends, specifically Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time here in New York on WLNY, the CBS own station. Some of you know as Channel 10, other Channel 55. The show is called Wake Up with Marcy. And the person you're about to hear is not only the host, she's also the executive producer, and she's now getting her show syndicated to other stations around the country, starting with KPSP-TV in Palm Springs, California, as well as stations in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and Idaho Falls, Idaho. Joining us live from New Jersey, host and executive producer, Marcy Hopkins. Marcy, welcome.
Hello. It's so great to be here. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. What's it like to try to get your show out of New York and over the rest of the country?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a great venture. It's finding the right connection, sharing my show, and just really letting my show speak for itself so they can make the decision to pick it up. And thankfully, those I have pitched it to have picked it up.
And for people around the country who don't know about the show, give us the big overview.
Yeah, so really my show is all about inspiration and empowerment, sharing personal stories and experiences through really meaningful and engaging conversations about spreading hope, about people that have become triumphant through whatever hardship it is. And then I also have very educational conversations because we need to learn, right? We need to get educated on these subjects in mental health, recovery, wellness, beauty, and I also have some great entertainment segments. But, you know, I've got authors and thought leaders that are coming on and giving us resources and educating us so we can put our lives into action, because ultimately I want passion and live their happiest lives, because I've learned to do that and I want to help others to do that.
Mm-hmm. What's like the common response that you get from viewers who check your show out on the weekends?
Honestly, it is such an honor to have people reach out to me and tell me that I've made a difference in their lives, because that's what I want. I want people to know that they're not alone and that there are ways that they can get through whatever this life throws at them, because we've all gone through something, and so I want my guests to offer ways for others to get through it. Know that they're not alone, and know that there is hope and possibility. And when I'm told that I have done that for someone, there is, you know, nothing more fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. How did the show happen? How long have you been doing it?
The show is about 3.5 years old. Ultimately, because of my own past trauma and recovery, my life started changing, and I started living a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I actually launched a show called Coffee with Marcy, and that was a social media talk show. And now, after that, I was helping entrepreneurs, and what I wanted to do was really help others. I wanted to do more. I wanted to share stories, as I shared, of triumph. So I could help other people to know that there's hope out there and just really inspire them to move forward and know that they don't have to stay stuck.
Mm-hmm. Given what you dealt with before doing this show, what was the turning point for you in what you were dealing with? And secondly, what was the turning point for you in having WLNY take the program on?
Wow. Well, listen, I had a lot of trauma. One of the big things that I had in my life was sexual abuse. And my parents were alcoholics, and I used alcohol to cope. And it had just gotten to a point in my life where things started crumbling around me. And I knew that I was going to lose everything. I had a life that looked great, but I myself was crumbling inside. And I knew that I had to surrender and stop drinking, or I was going to destroy everything that I had. And it was that moment when I put down the drink and I started my healing journey. And, you know, you put down the drink, but there's so much work to do as far as changing your mindset and healing from your past and breaking cycles. And once I saw that that was possible, that's what I wanted to give other people. And when WLNY, ultimately what happened there is I had sent my show in, and I was really looking for just some feedback. And they liked the show so much, they ended up picking it up. So as you can imagine, I was beyond thrilled at the response that I had received from them.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of the
time, do you take one show a week, or do you tape a bunch of shows at a time? How does it work?
So I tape a couple of shows a week, and they are edited, and, you know, they air them on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. And specifically, it's Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern time.
That's correct. And, you know, I started off at a 6 a.m. time slot, and they moved it to 10 a.m., and it's just really been going well, and it just continues to grow. I've got celebrities coming on telling their stories of hope now, and it just runs the gamut of who I have on the show, and I just could not be more thrilled. And you know, I've always been in the industry, but I was always behind the scenes working for networks, so this was something new for me because I got in front of the camera much later in life, and I've never had experience with a talk show. So I took this all on myself. I took, all of the background education that I had, I used that. I used being in front of the camera, and then I just kept on learning and pushing forward, and you know, I'm just really proud of the show that I've created.
The show is Wake Up with Marcy, and you can find it here in New York on WLNY. That's channel 10 to 55, depending on where you are. And it's on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. local time. It is also now running on stations around the country, including KPSP-TV in Palm Springs, California. It's on Sundays at 5:30 a.m. local time. Also, it's running in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Idaho Falls, Iowa. And in some markets, not only running on the station, it is also running on the Smart TV app, and in some cases on Hulu. And we're talking with Marcy Hopkins, the host and executive producer of the program. She joins me here out from Wyckoff, New Jersey this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tomorrow will be live from across the Hudson River in New Weber, York, where it is now 62 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment from Marcy, don't be shy. Make some noise. Talk at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, we will not be with you on our usual time period Monday because of the digital content new front that will be kicking off in person for the first time in 3 years. A lot of very interesting players will be doing their thing, showcasing new networks, new series, new things, new approach to advertising, maybe interactivity as well over the course of Monday through Thursday. So we will be with you on Thursday and Friday. The Thursday episode will be on 1 hour earlier than normal, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Friday's show will be at our regular time. And coming up on Thursday, we will have from the brand-new Mike Myers series on Netflix, which premieres next week, the director and executive producer of The Penner The Penta Verite. That's the Penta Verite. What a name. We'll have director and executive producer Tim Kirkby. And Series Fest kicks off in Denver for the first time in 3 years next week. We'll go live to Denver, the Mile High City, and talk to the initiatives producer at Series Fest this year, Lauren Grimshaw Sloan. And later on in May, we hope to have one or two of the TV series pilot winners of Series Fest, which will be going on for the first 10 or so days in May. That's all coming up 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, next Thursday right here on the Mavi Televised. And Friday, we'll be with you at our regular time. And one of our guests then will be from Holy Moly, going to fourth season next week on ABC with the Muppets now involved. We'll have executive producer Charles Wachter. He's his second appearance on our show. First one was during the first season of Holy Moly, which if you haven't seen it, again, it's on ABC, starting a brand new season, Muppets involved for the first time, along with co-host Joe Tessitore and Rob Riegel, and of course Steph Curry, who, by the way, just won the opening round series with his Golden State Warriors, moving on to the next round in the Western Conference semifinals. So anyway, that's coming up Friday, regular time, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Marcy, let's talk about some of the, first of all, before we talk about the celebrities you've had on, when you thought about being a talk show host, were there any talk shows out there that inspired you or that you said, I want to be like X?
Well, I mean, listen, I wanted to be like Oprah. I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. I mean, listen, if I'm going to aspire to be someone, it's going to be one at the very top of the game. So
yeah.
the change that she's made in people's lives, I just hope that I can, you know, just touch a fraction of the people that she's touched.
Mm-hmm. And she's running a network, Oprah Winfrey Network, also, and which is not only on its own, but also part of Discovery Plus. By the way, I should point out, if you haven't heard on the talk show scene, Ellen DeGeneres, I believe earlier today or yesterday, taped her final episode of her syndicated series after 17 mm-hmm. years. Congratulations to Ellen and crew. That, by the way, episode will be running the week of May 26th. So we wanted to get that in. Talk about some of the guests you've had on. You've had some, you know, for your time period, you've had some very, very, you know, amazing guests on.
Yes, I've loved the guests that I've had on. And you know, one that really stands out for me is Patricia Heaton. She came on to talk about her book, and she was very open about her path to recovery. And what had happened is after she, you know, quit the project with Everybody Loves Raymond and other projects that she was involved in, she had a lot of downtime, and she started drinking more than normal. And this is a story that a lot of moms can relate to. And the mm-hmm. fact that she was just so open about it and how she ended up putting down the drink and why she put it down and the difference that she's made in her own life because of that. I mean, these are the stories that we need to hear, and especially through the pandemic right now where alcohol consumption is at an all-time high and mental health, and it's all being, you know, brought to the forefront. And, you know, I'm really working hard to break the stigma attached to mm-hmm. addiction. So she was just incredible. And Kim Fields, wow. I mean, she's done it all. And she came on. She's actually also an entrepreneur. And she came on to talk about some of, you know, her new ventures and film that she was doing. And it's just incredible to see these people that are idolized in a lot of ways. But they're going through so many of the same things that we are. And when they're so open and raw about it, the audience can really connect. And that's what I want to bring to the table with my show.
Mm-hmm. And we should point out that Heaton had a wonderful run with The Middle, which was the show she co-starred in on ABC for, I think it was close to a decade.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I had Candace Cameron Bure on, and you know, she came on to talk about her philanthropic work, and John Stamos was on the show, and he's just hilarious. You know, it was so much fun to have him on, and, you know, it's just, I've had some really great people on.
Yeah. Candace, for those who don't know, just signed a deal with GAC family and GAC Media to do, not only to do more of the Hallmark Channel type movies she has been doing for a number of years, but also to actually create series, create specials, both scripted and unscripted, for GAC Family and GAC Living, their sister network, but also to do some curating of their schedules.
That's awesome. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
No, I was just going to share, you know, through this continued venture of my own, I decided to write a book, Chaos to Clarity, Seeing the Signs and Breaking the Cycles, which is a continuation of trying to help others. So, you know, sharing my personal story, trauma and recovery, and I offer support and education weave throughout my story to help others to identify. And they can also learn how to break their own harmful cycles and see signs from the other side and move into spirituality and really just pave a new path to life. And that's what I want, people to know that they can live in a place of happiness and joy, because I was at rock bottom and I just know it's possible, and I want people to know that, and that's why I continue to push forward on these different mediums.
Mm-hmm. Before I ask you about another guest, how did the pandemic impact the topics you were dealing with on camera and also your writing of this book? Because you mentioned that, you know, one of the consequences of this coronavirus pandemic, which looks like we are now at an end of here in New York City and hopefully around the rest of the nation too, is that the suicide rate among teenagers went up. The mental health situation, the whole controversy over masks in schools, where kids had to wear these indoors and outdoors, you know, up to 8 hours a day.
Right. Right. I mean, I will tell you that I myself picked up a lot more guest mental health. And I also just recently had someone on, both of their children had committed suicide. So sharing about what they went through and now how they are helping other people. I mean, it's heartbreaking what is happening out there. And we are becoming more divided, humanity is, from this pandemic. And for children that need as much connection as possible as they're growing and forming in this life, it's just devastating to see that they've had to live in fear and such separation from others. And when these kids are going back into school, they have so much fear of even connecting to one another or being close to one another, and forget it if you're a new kid in school. So the isolation has just, you know, really truly affected our youth and suicide, and also the use of, you know, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. I mean, that's all elevated for our youth also.
You're hearing Marcy Hopkins. She is the creator, host, and executive producer of Wake Up with Marcy, the talk show of inspiration. It's currently on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern here in the Big Apple through WLNY. That's the CBS-owned station that comes across as either 10 or 55 in terms of channel space, depending on where you are. It is now being syndicated around the country to stations in Palm Springs, California, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Idaho Falls, Iowa, and it's also running on the smart TV apps of those stations, as well as the Hulu app that's associated with those stations as well. Marcy Hopkins is with us live from Wyckoff, New Jersey, this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Tom Abbott, I'm with you live from New Weber, York, 62 degrees at the moment here in the Big Apple. And if you have a question or comment, many minutes with Marcy, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in our final half hour, we'll talk about the brand new ABC true crime drama that's really true to life, and it has you play Sherlock Holmes. It's called Who Do You Believe? We'll have executive producers Alex Werso and Ben Crompton. They'll join us live from Los Angeles after the bottom of the hour. Plus, one more time, classic trivia question of the week. You still have an opportunity to be our second weekly winner in a row and win the new best-selling book, Binge Times, if you come up with the correct answer first. And that's the deal. So stay tuned for that. That is also coming up. One other celebrity you've had on that I was curious what you thought was Debbie Allen. I have always been a Debbie Allen fan ever since I first saw her perform in an NBC series called Three Girls Three. She was magnificent then. Then came fame, both on camera as one of the co-stars as well as being the choreographer behind the camera. She's now had a great directing career, starting with A Different World on NBC and then many other shows and movies. What was it like talking to her and finding – what was the most interesting insight you found out about her?
You know what? I thought Debbie was incredible. She was so inspirational. It was so easy to connect with her. She came on to talk about a wellness subject, but it was so inspiring to see what she had done through the pandemic, sharing about hobbies that she had picked up, and she was just so relatable. And, you know, I just really appreciated the time with Debbie and just how she really connected with the audience and inspiring them at, you know, during this time we were in the middle of the pandemic just to move forward and just to grow and learn. You know, when you see someone like Debbie Allen making a difference and picking up these hobbies, like you think to yourself, I can do that too. So I thought she was a very inspirational guest and was very appreciative to have her on. I mean, and such an incredible talent, right? So that was a great one.
Who are some of the stars you have coming up?
I got to think about that for a minute. I'm so sorry. I should have this memorized. I unfortunately, I have somebody that works with me and does all of my booking. So I don't have that in front of me. So I'm so sorry.
No problem. Okay, we'll go forward. Okay. On the station side of things, are there any other stations that are coming up that will start taking the show in the weeks ahead?
Yes, yeah, so I am looking at ABC in Santa Barbara. That's the next one that I'm looking into. So I look forward to having my show in Santa Barbara, Palm Springs. I'm already in. So you know, I'm really looking forward to that. And I just, you know, I look to continue to grow and continue to share and just expand on the people that I have on the show. You know, you were talking about a few people, and you know, I was just thinking about it. I've got Guy Townsend coming on. Sheryl Crow's going to be coming on in May. I have actress Rebecca Metz coming on from Better Things. You know, I have some plastic surgeons. So I've got some great people that are coming on. And just had Katrina Scott on. She's a Sports Illustrated model. And she was telling about her story of IVF and just really some inspirational guests. So I'm grateful for that.
Incidentally, at the end of your show or during your show, do you provide any sort of outreach? Let's say if people want to get assistance on some of the issues they're dealing with, whether it's mental health or something else, is there like, do you at the end of the show put out, let's say, if you want more details about this situation, whether here's a number to call or here's a website to take a look at?
So if we are talking about recovery, or we all are talking about mental health, there, I will at times put up an 800 number or a crisis number. But also a lot of times the people that are coming on are individuals or doctors that help, so I put up their information. Also continued on my website at wakeupwithmarcy.com, I continue that. So I try to do what I can, and my guest, the audience, and so I try to provide that so people can move forward, like I said, because you got to have resources to be able to move forward in this life.
Mm-hmm. At this point, who is your dream guest? Who is the person that you haven't had on yet that you would, you know, hell and high water, you want to have them on?
Oh, well, I got to go back to Oprah. So what I love about Oprah now is not only all of the incredible things that she's doing and the empires that she has built. She and I also believe in a lot of the same things when it comes to spirituality and law of attraction. And I would really just love to sit down and have that conversation with her, because when you have that mindset, when you have the belief and the understanding of how to live your life and create things for yourself and your higher power, like, I would just love to have that conversation with her. And so that's ultimately who I would really love to have. You have a contact?
Well, you know, a number of years ago, way, way back, when OWN was in its first year and it was having a lot of criticism and a lot of people were saying this network is not going to last past a year or two, I did a story in Media Village. It was a commentary about the fact that, hey, a lot of other cable networks also had growing pains. So, like, you know, don't rush the judgment here about Oprah. And I got a voicemail message from Oprah Winfrey.
You did. That's incredible. What
she's
saying,
you know, thank you for writing that story. Thank you for writing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good, solid person, right? I mean, she didn't have to do that. I think that's
right. Absolutely. Yeah. And for years, I have had that on my voicemail. I have kept that voicemail. I kept that voicemail for years. Because when Oprah Winfrey calls you, exactly when you don't expect it, you don't take that off your voicemail messages.
No, we're hanging on to that one for sure.
Mm-hmm. Before you go, Marcy, when is your book coming out?
May 20th. Yeah, so I'm just ecstatic to get it out there, and book signing on May 20th, actually. So here in Paramus at Garden State Plaza, Neiman Marcus, anyone around, join us at 11:30, and hopefully get in there in New York City and get myself out there.
The name of the series, again, is Wake Up with Marcy, and you can wake up with that program Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. here in the Big Apple on WLNY, which is channel 10 of 55 in the greater New York metro area, depending on where you are. It is also now running on KPSP-TV, Sunday mornings, 5:30 a.m. local time. That's in Palm Springs, California. Also running in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Idaho Falls, Indiana, hopefully coming to other stations near you. It is also running on Hulu and on YouTube in those markets through smart TV apps, and hopefully more stations to come. For more details about the program online, you go to wakeupwithmarcy.com. That's wakeupwithmarcy, M-A-R-C-I.com. And your new book, just say the name of the book again. It's coming out May 20th, and it's called?
Chaos to Clarity, Seeing the Signs and Breaking the Cycles.
And there you go. And Marcy, we would love to, when the book comes out, we would like to offer the Classic Trivia Prize in a future episode. So let's stay in touch with your PR people, and let's make that happen.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate this time, and I hope you have a wonderful one. Thank you again.
You're very welcome, Marcy. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Hopefully more stations along the line will take your show, and who knows, you may get your own network someday. It's been a delight to have you with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Enjoy the weekend. Marcy Hopkins joining us live from Wyckoff, New Jersey. And when we come back, we will have the two key executive producers behind the brand new ABC true crime saga, Who Do You Believe? Alex Werso and Ben Crompton join us live from Santa Monica and Los Angeles, California, respectively, after we pause near the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, coming up next Wednesday and every Wednesday on BTR, it's Word of Mom Radio. That's Word of M-O-M Radio. It's entertainment, conversation, and all sorts of great inspiration, too. Word of Mom Radio, Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's BTR 24/7. At YouTube.com. Where else? Welcome back to our final half hour of this expanded Dose Hour edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Rabin with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guest in our final half hour, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Have you ever wanted to play Sherlock Holmes? or Nero Wolfe or any other great literary detective in trying to solve a case, especially when you hear more than one side of it and you're wondering, like, well, who do you believe? Who do I believe? Well, ABC has got a brand new true crime series premiering next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time called Who Do You Believe? And it gives you the opportunity to judge a case by playing armchair detective. Joining us live in another internet radio exclusive from Santa Monica, California and Los Angeles, California, respectively, executive producers Alex Werso and Ben Crompton. Alex and Ben, welcome in.
Hey, Simon, how are you?
Nice to meet you,
Simon. Very fine, thank you. And Alex, let's start with you. How did you and Ben team up to do this?
Well, Ben actually, I believe, came up with the concept along with the team at Lime. He can tell you a little bit more about how the concept came to being.
Yeah,
Lime,
so
by the way,
I
is
mean,
part of a great unscripted TV empire, All Free Media. Just want to let everybody know that. Okay, Ben, go ahead.
That's right. Yeah, you're totally right. And as you said, I mean, you know, when we started out on this journey, we were really looking into the idea that you only really know a story when you hear both sides, the closest two sides to it. And too often in true crime, you don't get that full picture because it's bogged down in the detail, or you're only hearing snippets from court proceedings, and you never really understand exactly what was going through these people's heads. So what we did is we set out to speak to people on either sides of true crimes, and what we found is it's really fascinating and refreshing to hear their stories in full, right from the top, without knowing which side was adjudicated guilty, which side was not, but really just getting a pure understanding of what was going through their head at various set pieces. And that's the show. It's a real ride. It's a journey for the viewers. And you hear side by side what they thought and what was incongruent about those narratives at certain moments. And at the end of it, you will reach a decision, you know, hopefully on your sofas with your family or your loved ones as to who you believed. And then we will then drop the verdict and the adjudication. So it's a really fun, it's a riveting journey, and something we've had a lot of fun making.
In a way, Alex, you and Ben are reworking the whole idea of a true crime television program, because as Ben was inferring, in the majority of these programs, you're just given, boom, you basically dictate what the viewer sees and what the viewer hears.
Exactly.
It's like, this is the case, we're laying it out. There's no wiggle room in terms of how the event is portrayed based on what you can
right.
get, whether it's recreations or testimony or, you know, interviews. Was this an easy pitch for both of you to make to ABC saying, well, we want to do a big twist here and not do things the normal way, instead of leave it to the viewer to make the call on, as the title says, who they believe?
Yeah.
I mean,
Ben,
yeah, Ben.
Well, I mean, yeah, because we originally pitched it at the back end of last year. I mean, a lot of the genius actually came from ABC as well. Like, you know, it wasn't completely as you see now. We had the idea of the divergent narratives. We had the idea of really trying to tell the story of these twisty-turny stories via the two closest people to it. But that inherent gameplay, that viewer experience, really came from those discussions with the team at ABC, and it's something we really kind of doubled down on as we developed it further.
Right.
And like you said,
that.
it isn't like other true crime shows, you know, the interviews with the cops, that a lot of other shows tend to be law enforcement focused and just through the eyes of the victim. And the person who is guilty in the end often doesn't give a chance, but that's not the case in our show. It had to have both sides in every story, and we found that kind of keeping it simple and just having those two voices and not having all these other witnesses and ancillary voices that come in really made it clearer and enhanced the play along of who do you believe, because you're watching their faces as they're saying these things and you're trying to deduce, you know, is he telling the truth now? You know.
Mm-hmm. So for either of you, how do you pick, A, the cases that you cover, and B, making sure that both sides are equally represented and their stories are equally told, so that when you throw it to the viewer and say, okay, viewer, play Sherlock Holmes, judge for yourself, they're getting a full picture?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of use your own judgment. That was one of the main criteria. Myself as a producer, can I believe each of these people? If I couldn't believe their story, it was too far-fetched, or that the way that they were explaining it had too many holes, or I couldn't put the rationale together, then we would move on to a different story. All the stories had to be adjudicated as well. They all needed to have lots of twists and turns. It can't be just kind of straight and narrow. It has to have that ducking and weaving that all true crime has. But it was difficult to get, you know, this show made because of that, because you're having those two sides, and oftentimes they're mortal enemies. You know, it's the victim versus the murderer. And when you're talking to those victims, they know that the murderer is going to get their chance to speak in this show, and that can be scary to some people. So they place a lot of trust in us to tell their stories. But I think that's what kind of makes this unique and different, is that we are giving each side a fair shake and kind of using our own judgment as viewers, trying to put ourselves in the viewers at home's seat and seeing, do I believe Mark at this point, or do I believe Charity at this point? And if you don't, then we got to work on it some more. Mm-hmm. But I think we're pretty successful in the end. Allegiances do turn.
Go ahead.
Good.
I'm sorry.
No, I think in the end, go ahead.
No, you were making a point, and I sort of interrupted. It's a wonderful thing with sometimes radio. You get the chance to interrupt people,
yeah.
And you don't know after applause.
The allegiances turn. That was the key thing. Just making sure in each act that I believe each person several times, and my allegiance turns. That was the requirement for all these stories. And I think in the final product, you'll see that.
Mental Dialogue 2 has just joined our chat room. So welcome aboard from wherever you are. If you have a question or comment for our guests, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. We are talking to the executive producers of the brand-new ABC series, Who Do You Believe?, which is running next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. By the way, it's part of a big night of season returns as well as premieres. Coming up at 8 o'clock that night will be the fourth season premiere of Holy Moly, whose executive producer, Charles Wachtel, will be on this very program 1 week from today. And then the brand-new series of The Chase, new season with three brand-new chasers, Victoria Gross, Brandon Blackwell, and Buzzy Cohen. Remember him? Wonderful Jeopardy champion. They'll join Brad Rutter, James Holthauser, and much, much more, hosted, of course, by Sarah Haynes. That's all on ABC Tuesday night from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And if you have a question or comment, again, for our guests, executive producers Alex Russo and Ben Crompton from Who Do You Believe, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Talk about the first episode that people will see Tuesday night and how it got made. How long did it take to get both sides to explain themselves on camera?
We do the interviews for just one day each. We do extensive pre-interviews with them, so we have a list of accusations that the other side has made to give each side a fair shake at disputing the other claims. But it takes just one day to film their interviews. It's a long day. Sometimes it's an eight-hour interview, very extensive, and then we'll go to their hometowns and shoot some character B-roll with them and kind of set the scene of where the episode actually took place by sending some of our cameras out there as well, in addition to the recreation stuff that you'll see featured in each show.
And what we find, Simon, is that, you know, they have a hell of a lot of stuff that they want to air, that they want to say, and that they want to reply to. And too often with these cases, you know, they never got a chance to follow up their response. You know, it was talked about maybe within their local circles or the community. It was talked about on the news, but they never actually got a chance to fully lay out, with the benefit of hindsight, what was going through their heads at certain points. So, you know, it's a very cathartic process for them, and that's why the interview takes such a long time.
And for either of you, at what point do you stop the side sharing and you throw it to the viewer to, okay, you Sherlock Holmes out there, start deducting your thoughts about the case?
Well,
and what do you do to help the thought process along? Talk about the thought process of the viewer.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, for me, it's not so much Sherlock Holmes in that sense. Like, there is certainly detectiving. There's certainly deducing the facts and building up your idea as to who you believe. But you know, the show twists and turns. Who do you believe is one of the questions that you will have as you watch this? But at other times, it might be who do you relate to the most and whose situation or reaction to a situation can you understand the most? So it's more of a, I mean, the whole show really is, it's got all the facts and details and all the twists and turns of a great true crime story, but it's also a real human experience. We are really getting inside their heads. You're hearing both sides in full, and your allegiances are going either side. So it's, for me, the details are there, and it's great. And I think if you love true crime and you are a wannabe Sherlock Holmes and you love piecing together those facts, you will get your take in this, for sure. But I also think if you want to watch it and you want the experience of listening to two people share their truth, which truth do you side with the most? That's another way of looking at it.
Yeah. And how do you determine, how do you determine what, because these cases have been adjudicated, there's been a ruling out, how do you determine what key details will be shown to the viewer from the actual trial?
Obviously the juiciest details, the stuff most pertinent to the case. In the case of our show, what works best are those instances where the story directly overlaps, but that the point of view is drastically different. So two people in the same place at the same time, but their recounting of the scene is totally, totally different. And we play around with that device too in the recreation and shooting it from their dual POVs and play with a split screen concept throughout the show, which is interesting. I don't know if you had a chance to actually view any of our shows yet, Simon, have you?
No, not yet.
Okay, cool. Check it out on Tuesday.
Yeah, I definitely do. Definitely plan to. Tuesday night has been a very big night lately for ABC, especially with Judge Steve Harvey. We had Aisha Mizuko, the executive producer of that show. The show's been renewed for a second season. And I have to tell you, Steve Harvey has shown another side of himself that is very, very funny and but very commonsensical.
Yeah. I love that Steve Harvey.
That Tuesday night slot is super important as well. So, you know, it's a privilege to be on that lineup. And there's lots of exciting things happening as well. So, yeah, it's a great network to be at.
Tell us about some of the cases that you cover and what made them fascinating to document them.
Right. Well, we wanted to have a good variety of different kinds of cases. We felt like that was really important. We felt like also we didn't want cases that were too heavy or too dark. You know, it is ABC prime time. Not to say that they're not dramatic and the stakes aren't high, but no mass murderers for that part. But variety was the key. You know, they go from just domestic disputes between husbands and wives. Our second episode is about the conservatorship of Nichelle Nichols, of Star Trek fame, and it's the battle of her estate and her conservatorship from her former manager and her son. We covered the Celeste Beard case as well, so that's mother versus daughters. We do a story about a centuries-old 13-star American flag that was given to the Ojibwe tribe, so it's the story of this ownership of this flag, and yeah, so lots of variety, mothers versus sons, mothers versus daughters, some cases you may have heard before, others you probably haven't, but they all kind of work in this format. Even if you know the story, nothing's been quite told this way in this juxtaposing way.
Mm-hmm. Did either of you or your production crew get any pushback from either a particular side or from local authorities or from lawyers who had said, well, you know, this case is too hard or this case is too sensitive. We don't want to bring our side, or the police saying like, what the heck are you doing? Trying to take this case and give it a televised spin.
Sure, for sure. Hundreds and hundreds of cases were looked at in the course of researching the stories that we wanted to feature. And for a variety of all the reasons that you named, many of them fell out. And you have to believe the person too. Like that, again, that is the most important criteria, that even if this person has been convicted of murder, as you're watching throughout the show, you need to be thinking in your own mind, did this person really do this? And that's when we've done our jobs, if you're, you know, questioning what the verdict is before the verdict is revealed.
Go back to the case about the flag. This is the first I've heard of this. Was this a case raised by a Native American tribe or by an unusual group?
Mm-hmm.
How did you hear about that?
I'm not sure how we actually found this story, but it's the story of the Gopher family and the Red Thunder family. Both are different factions of the Ojibwe tribe that they're mainly based in Montana, but our pocket of it is, but they're all over the country. And the basic story is there was this general chief who handed over a 13-star flag that some people think Betty Ross may have created herself. And it was given to the tribe, and it's basically the story of, does one family in this tribe have rights to ownership of this flag, or does the entire tribe have ownership to this flag? And this thing has been taken to the Smithsonian, and it's estimated to be worth millions and millions of dollars. And it could change the lives of the characters who are battling over it. And that's just a basic overview of it. It's a fascinating story and definitely different than any of the other stories we do. It takes place over centuries of time, you know. So that one's interesting.
We're speaking with the two executive producers behind the new ABC series, Who Do You Believe?, that premieres this Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. That's executive producers Alex Verso and Ben Crumpton. They're joining us from Santa Monica and Los Angeles, California, respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Sound out on with you live from New York, 62 degrees at the moment here on the Big Apple. If you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with our duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906. We'll use the chat room as Mental Dialogue 2 is doing. And by the way, I want to remind you one more time, we are not going to be with you on Monday, which is our normal start of the week that we do our show, because of the digital content new fronts that are kicking off back in person for the first time in 3 years here in the Big Apple. We will be with you on Thursday, which is the final day, all virtual, of that event. And we'll be on Thursday at a special time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Big Power Hour in store for you. We will have from the new Mike Myers series coming to Netflix next month called The Penta Verite. That's right, the wild name, The Penta Verite. We'll have director and executive producer Tim Kirkby. And from Series Fest in Denver, which we'll go live to in our second half hour, initiatives producer Lauren Grimshaw Sloan. That's all coming up 1 hour earlier than normal next Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. And once again, coming your way 1 week from today among our guests, the executive producer of Holy Moly, which starts its fourth season also next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on ABC, Charles Lochter, who's on our show during the first season. He's back with us for season four, which this year has the Muppets, along with the regular crew of Joe Tessitore, Rob Riegel, Jeannie Mai, and Steph Curry, and that amazing miniature golf course. That's all coming up, again, 1 week from today right here on Tomorrow Be Televised, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Was there any thought in terms of trying to show people's believability of using testimony from psychologists or the use of lie detectors or polygraphs, things like that?
No. We wanted to just read it on their faces. We wanted their storytelling to do that. We didn't want to kind of artificially put those other devices on it. It felt like just much more riveting to just watch them side by side and tell their story.
Ben, for you and Alex, what was the most interesting part of putting this series together and really taking an in-depth look at these cases from two opposite points of view?
I think what was quite refreshing was we didn't have to be bogged down in all of the various testimonies to make up a full picture. We had the fullest picture. We had the two closest people to this adjudicated case. So I think for us, and it's interesting you brought up lie detector, you know, actually, when one person's truth is their truth, they believe that's what went down. You know, what they're saying happened in their eyes is what they're saying happened. So we're not really, as producers, we're not really questioning that. So I think probably the most surprising thing we went about is just how compelling it was to hear two such incongruent narratives. And the other thing I really like about it is we're not just dealing with the direct incident. We're not just dealing with one small piece. We're dealing with the foundations of their relationship, whether it's a mother and son or a husband and wife, you know, when they first met, what was going through their heads, was there any kind of virus of doubt in what they thought about each other early on? And I think that's also very revealing as well. It's kind of really resetting and going back to the start of when these two people, when their relationship began.
Yeah. Going back to the Nicole Nichols situation, I'm curious whether there were other cases that had a TV show background, like in Nicole's Star Trek, that were also considered for being on the program.
The only other one that comes to my mind that didn't make it was the story of the Green Power Ranger who had murdered his roommate, but he claimed it was in self-defense. We were trying to do that one and track it down, but for one reason or other, it didn't work out. It may have been that one just didn't have enough twists and turns, but it was the Green Power Ranger with his own sword that he had featured in the show. That was the murder weapon. That was the only one that I know that is famous, like in
yeah. And the Nichelle one is fascinating, you know, because I think people have spoken a lot about the Nichelle conservatorship case. There was a lot of press about it. William Shatner was involved at one stage. And, you know, what's great is within this format, we're allowed to relook at stories that have been talked about and plug them in, and we get a whole new take on that story. So that's a fascinating one as well.
Yeah. I do want to do the Johnny Depp Amber Heard story. I think that would make a perfect episode of this.
I'll tell you, the viewership to the trial on various channels is going to the roof. It is stunning testimony that both sides are giving.
And basically our show, version of that would be, you wouldn't have to wait to hear the other side respond. You know, instead of just seeing her kind of sitting in court there, you would have her response right then, you know, as he makes those accusations, and then bring it all to life with recreations for their point of views of the same thing. So if anybody has any references to get to Johnny, that would be great.
Yeah.
It's also interesting, going back to the Power Rangers situation, that in spite of that case, Power Rangers just keeps on going and going and going and going and going. It's an incredible story. Somebody should do a documentary on the ongoing making of that series. But when it started as a 5-day-a-week Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, now it's a once-a-week playing somewhere on cable or through a smart TV set, smart TV device distributed network. Because they change the characters every 2 years, and they still use the footage from Japan, which keeps it over the Zords and so on and so forth.
Do they? Wow.
It's an amazing series.
Yeah.
Someone should definitely get that.
It is.
Maybe Media
and
your parent company should try it.
Maybe, yeah, and a huge merchandising opportunity as well. Simon, by the way, I absolutely love this radio show. You're just very passionate and enthusiastic about all things television. How nice that is. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Alex. I really appreciate it. It's been a joy. You know, we're coming up on our 15th anniversary in August, and it has been a joy to have the opportunity to interview people like yourselves and to interview some of the amazing talents that have contributed to where this medium is at over the last 15 years. It's been incredible. And to have somebody like Tom Skerritt earlier today, or a newcomer like Kathleen Robertson, or people like Norman Lear, or Bill Persky, one of the great situation comedy writers who worked on the Dick Van Dyke Show with his late partner Sam Denhoff, and created That Girl with Marlo Thomas, with Sam, or James Drury from The Virginian, you know, one of the great Western stars of television, whose series continues to be the longest running 90-minute series in the history of the medium. When you get those opportunities, it's just a joy to have them happen.
Nice.
Right. And when are you taking to Charles from Holy Moly? Yeah, pretty great. When are you talking about Holy Moly? We love that show. It's a fantastic show.
Next Friday, Charles Wachtel, the executive, this is the second time on our program.
Awesome.
He was on several years ago when the show started, and he's a wonderful guest.
Awesome. Cool.
And we should point out that we have also had a number of the ABC game shows have been on our program. Vin Rubino, who works on The Chase,
mm-hmm.
he's been with us when he did the $100,000 Pyramid, which is coming back, by the way,
mm-hmm.
all new episodes in person in New York with Michael Strahan. We've had John Quinn, who was doing, I believe, Press Your Luck for Card Sharks. He now does Let's Make a Deal, third year on that show for CBS coming up this fall. Scott St. John, the executive Deal No Deal. I think he did Card Sharks, excuse me. So we've had some of the best game show producers, many of them from the ABC shows. Supermarket Sweep,
yes.
We had the producer of that show on 2 years ago. So we've had, with ABC and certainly with their unscripted shows, we've had a very good track record.
That's awesome.
Both of you have just joined that wonderful honor roll, so it's really, really great. Who do you believe? The newest ABC true crime program. It premieres next Tuesday at 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on your local ABC station. And don't forget, that's just the part of a whole night of season premieres or series premieres or season returns. 8 p.m., holy moly, 9 p.m., the new season of The Chase. Check the local listings for the ABC station in your area. For more details about the program online, go to abc.com. And by the way, I believe it will also be repeated on Hulu or another smart
TV
distributed service. And again, abc.com. Who do you believe? First episode next Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Alex Worso, Ben Crompton, thank you both very much for coming on. Thank you for the great thoughts. Good luck with the series. Hopefully next Tuesday, the beginning of a wonderful run.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Okay. Cheers to both of you. Have a super weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. And you, buddy. All the best. Bye.
Alex Worso and Ben Crompton joining us live from Santa Monica and Los Angeles, respectively. And before we go, one more time, our classic trivia question of the week, going for our second weekly winner in a row. What was Robert Conrad's first TV series? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or you can check it out, if we don't get a win by the end today, on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWT. What a wonderful 2 hours. Thank you to all of our guests, all of you for tuning in. Again, next week, we won't be on Monday. We will be on Thursday and Friday. Friday at a regular time. Thursday with Tim Kirkby from the Panavera today, from Mike Myers' new Netflix series, director, executive producer, and Lauren Grimshaw Sloan from Series Festival, live in for the start of that annual festival in person for the first time in 3 years. That's all next Thursday, special time, 1 hour early, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Came in Landstage program. Want to catch up if you missed? Go to our homepage. Also, check out our podcast. And remember, we love hearing from you any which way you like, email or social media, and what you say matters. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audio book or two and much more, audibletrial.com/televised. It's a great gift for you or someone you love. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend and early start to your next week. We're back again Thursday. Remember the time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, speaker, and tune in radio. Know of our podcast destinations. Whatever you're up to now and next Thursday, please make it safe and great. And until the next time, stay well and, of course, stay tuned.